say amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on. Say amen.
Amen.
Put a quarter of hammer applause in his house. Is it nursery time, Miss Monica? Do you know or?
Well, I think we only have a couple today in the nursery, so we're going to let them stay in here.
Oh, good deal.
We're going to give our nursery worker today a break.
All right, good deal. Now, every time I begin to look and I advertise it on our website that I'm going to start doing something in the book of Revelation, the audience begins to get a little bigger on camera. And I always understand the fact that, there's always people that are watching me that don't always understand the book of Revelation, although they want to know it. And I also understand that I'm going to have some critics along the way, because not everybody interprets the book of Revelation in the same way that I do. And I understand that. I really do. And I appreciate that. I'm going to try to explain to you what I believe and why I believe it, what it says, and why I think that the reason Jesus said it at the time in history that he said it. Understand this. Every preacher that I know agrees with me that everything in the book of Revelation deals with what we're dealing with today and what the future is bringing. Now, I don't know about the future. You don't know about the future. I don't have a clue what's going to happen to me before this day is over with. You don't either. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow, a year from now, 10 years from now, and neither do you. We also don't know exactly, as Baptist and Christian people believe, that the rapture of the church is soon. How soon is soon? It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be a year from now, 10 years from now. That really doesn't matter. All we know is everything that is supposed to be fulfilled has been fulfilled in a biblical way. Now all we got to do is be ready. Understand that? Shake your head, yes. We need to be ready. One way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Give me a hand. That is the way. And this is what I want to make sure that everybody understands, from the congregation in front of me to the people that watch me by internet, that Jesus is the only way to ever experience and know that there is a heaven, because it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. No discussion, no argument. And if you believe something else, then I just feel sorry for you. That's just all I'm going to say. Because there's nothing else to be said. Because it's flat out black and white. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, saying all that, today and next Sunday, I'm going to do a part one, part two, into the last church that Jesus talks about in Revelations before we get to chapter 4, which talks about the rapture of the church and tribulation and all kinds of stuff that's going to happen. And we'll talk a lot more about that. But for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about the generation, the times, and everything that leads up to the rapture of the church. And believe me, I hope when I show this to you that you truly understand and really understand that we're truly in those days today. Everybody ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Now, I'm going to have this up on screen every week while I'm in the book of Revelation, because we need this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed. Those who read it, those who believe it, those who put it into practice. That's the way I would put it in our day's language. Understanding that the time is at hand. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, here we go, Brother Larry. Third chapter of Revelation. You remember that chapter 2 and chapter 3 deals with seven churches. All right? Seven churches. These were real churches in John's day. Real churches in a real location. Every one of them had a particular letter that John was to write to the church and to the leadership of the church, and it was to be read aloud, just like I'm speaking aloud to you, it was to be read aloud to the congregation. Now, every one of those churches, again, real churches, real congregations, they also represent history from the time of the death of Christ until the last generation that will be living when Jesus comes. 7. Now, in my study 2 years ago, you remember I didn't skip a verse. We looked at every one of those churches. I'm not going to do this time. I'm not going to do it in any particular order. I'm just going to do it as the Lord puts it upon my heart. This is the last church, representative of a real church in history, but also represents the time in history in which the world and the condition of the world and the condition of the church would be when Jesus returns. Are you ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. All right. And the angel of the church, angel means to the leadership of the church. In other words, if somebody was addressing our congregation, they may say to Brother Roger Hodge and congregation, that's all this is saying, okay? And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 14 is just simply saying, what I'm about to say to you is coming directly from Jesus and His Holy Spirit. These things saith the Amen, that's another name for Christ. The faithful, another name for Christ. The true witness, another name for Christ. The beginning of the creation of God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, all part of the Godhead, been from the creation of God. You understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 15. I know thy works. This phrase was used with every church, also with every generation. And folks, according to what side you're on, this is a pretty scary thing. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. I'm going to explain what he means by that in a minute. Spew thee out of my mouth. Larry, let's go. I'm going to have to come back this minute, Larry. Let's go. Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Spew means vomit. Now, any of you had something inside you that made you vomit, something you ate, maybe a flu virus, maybe you're sick. I don't like that. I don't like to be sitting over a garbage bag or a toilet vomiting. Anybody here like that?
Probably.
No. Who ever heard of it? It's awful. And then when you look and see what came out of you, ow! No wonder I was sick. Okay? That's just real. Okay, I got to get a little real for you to understand this, because this is some powerful language here. That's awful. It's vile. Whatever it may be, it went against your system so bad that you had to throw it up. Then, after you throw up, you feel better. For most time, unless it hits you again. Now, you understand this. When I eat something that makes me sick, makes me throw up, I don't want to eat it anymore. Right? I mean, it's like a person take a hammer and hit his hand. That hurts. He don't want to do that again. If he goes back and keeps hitting his hand with a hammer, you got to put him in a home. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but that's how ridiculous some people really are when it comes to understanding their relationship with God. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Alright, Larry, go back again, if you will. Go back to this one screen for me, please. I want you to look at this phrase. I know that works. Everything that I have ever done on this planet, good or bad, God knows about it. Now, not everybody knows what I've done. I don't know everything you've done. And it really truth, it's none of my business. But when you stand before God, He's going to know everything you've ever done, ever said, ever went, and you're going to stand before Him. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
He's going to know it. Now, when we stand before God, one or two things is going to happen. He's either going to forgive you for what you've done because you believed in Jesus, or He's not. I don't know how to make that any more simpler. That's what it's going to be. Either He's going to forgive you, or He's not. And the reason is going to be on whether or not you've accepted Jesus, believe in Jesus, and if Jesus is Lord of your life. That's going to be the difference on what God the Father says. If He says, depart from me, I never knew you, all hell is coming. Better right. All hell is coming your way. And I don't know how to prepare for that, but you better prepare. Because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I say that all the time. But hell's also a prepared place for prepared people. You make the choice. It's up to you. I make the choice. I can't blame nobody else. I'm the one. When no one can make it for me, I'm the only one that can make it. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, when He says, talking to the church. Now, I'm going to interpret it this way. I think that all of these churches were real churches with real people. So they're talking to a congregation. Not talking to lost people, but to a congregation. Of course, there are people in congregations all across this world that are lost. Just because you're on a church road, I promise you, that will not get you into heaven. Your name being on any church roll, I don't care what denomination it is. If that's all it is to you, you better get ready for hell. Because that's not going to get you in there. Not saying, hey, I was a member of Cold Baptist Church. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Who cares? I don't care what member you are. Because it's not about that, it's about what's inside of me. Have I truly believed in Jesus Christ? Is He my Lord? Is He my life? This is my individual walk. My wife can't make it for me. My daughter can't make it for me. I got to make it for me. This is my walk. My choice. Understand that. Okay? My choice. He said, you're neither cold nor hot. And I would rather that you were cold or hot. Now, go on, Larry. Please. So because thou art, I want you to look this word. This is the most horrible word for Christian people to look at. Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot. I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Now, a lot of ministers over the years have talked about this phrase, lukewarm. Let me try to put it how I look at it. Lukewarm, another word that I would use is comfort. A lot of people like to go to Florida or Texas or whatever because it's in the summertime because it's, of course, you got the ocean down there and all that, but it's hot down there. I can't go anymore in the summertime because since I've had open heart surgery, I'm not supposed to be out in the yard working above 85 degrees. That works for me a lot. What you say? Keep it up, kids. Oh! See? We can't get out there, Camp. You didn't get our truck. Comfort. Monica and I go to Florida in the winter. Because it's 70, 75 degrees. When you guys are up here freezing to death at 30 degrees, I like it down there because it's lukewarm. It's comfortable. 70 degrees, I can get out. We can walk around. Gets down maybe in the 50s. You know, you don't really need a coat. You know, you don't need a whole lot at that temperature because it's comfortable. All right? When it's hot, people get half naked. Believe me. I've been in Florida in the summertime. I'm telling you, they get half naked down there. In the wintertime, you put on more clothes than you can put on because you're cold. You understand that situation? Jesus says, I would rather you be cold or hot. Just let me tell you why. If you're hot, you're going to find a way to get cool. Does that make sense? I like air conditioning. Barsha, you like air conditioning? Barsha, you air conditioning went out over the weekend. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
All right? Not sure about that one.
Yeah. But if it's hot, I'm going to find a way to get cold. I'm going to go where it's air conditioned. If it's cold, I'm going to find a way to get hot. I'm going to go where there's a furnace. I'm going to go where it's warm. Make sense so far? You understand that? That's human nature. So I need something. If I'm cold or if I'm hot, I need something. If I'm lukewarm, I don't need anything. You see where I'm going with this? Huh? He said, I'd rather you to be cold or hot because then you'll know that you need me. Whether things are hot in your life or cold in your life, if you reach out to God, He's going to meet your need. And sometimes that's why we have to go through the days of cold weather or the days of hot weather so that we can depend on God for our needs. But we live in a generation today in a church full of people that are lukewarm. And here's the deal. As long as everything's wonderful, I don't really need God that much. It affects my church attendance. It affects my giving. It affects my attitude. It affects my witness. Because I'm just sort of, everything's okay. Job's okay. You know, it doesn't mean it's perfect, but it's comfortable. And that's where Satan wants people at, in a comfort level. The income is okay. They're not rich, but they got enough just to get going and to do okay. They're comfort, and they don't need anything. And that's exactly where Satan wants church people, where they don't need nothing. That's the generation that will be alive when Jesus comes. Wild Jim Crow. Get the picture? I don't know whether I'm preaching to the choir. I don't know whether you need to hear this or not. Maybe the people that may be watching this on the internet. I'm telling you, find you a church home and get in it. Because I say this all the time. It wouldn't surprise me. I have no proof for this. It's nothing biblical. But it wouldn't surprise me that the rapture of the church takes place on Sunday morning. It really wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know who's going to be in bed on Sunday morning. I don't know who's going to be in that attitude. I don't care. When the trumpet sounds, I promise you, if you're left in that bed or left here, you're going to care. Because that's when you think we live in hell now. You haven't seen nothing of what's coming. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into this book. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, I wish you was one way or the other. I wish you was cold or hot, because you'll find a way to find me if you're cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, you will leave me out of your life, leave me out of your family, and leave me out of your church. Because when we get to the end of this next week, you're going to actually see that Jesus is at the outside of the church trying to get in. He's not trying to get into his own church. Because I promise you, there are churches around this globe where I don't believe the Holy Spirit's even invited. I really don't. He's knocking on the outside of any given church on this planet trying to get in. That's next week. But how long is he going to knock? We'll close here. Now, let me tell you a little something about this town, this church. This was the richest of all of the cities. that Jesus sent these letters to John to. It was a very upscale place of the day. Okay? Look what he says. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and have gotten riches, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art a wretch, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We act like we got it all. Jesus says, you've got nothing. You know why? Because let me tell you something. Riches will not get you into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You just got to understand that. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't write a check. You can't use your American Express. You can't pour out $100 bills. You can't do that. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. And I know sometimes I may step on some denominations when I say that. See, I don't work to get to heaven. I work for Jesus because of what he's done for me. Not to have a relationship with him. I work for Jesus because he loved me and died on the cross for me. This is why I stand here. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. Amen. This is why I work for the Lord. Give me a hand of applause. Next week, we'll do part two. Try not to miss it. Because we're going to look at this thing of Jesus knocking. Jesus is trying to get into your home and your family and his church. He's trying. He's knocking, he's knocking, he's knocking. And every time I preach on this, I say the same thing. I don't know if anybody wakes up to hear this, but there's going to come a day when he's not going to knock no more. But he's knocking today. This is your chance. Before we meet again next Sunday, the Lord could come. Now, I'm just being just as serious as I know how to be. Everything is set in motion. Israel's under attack. And Israel's going to be under attack. That little nation over there, the world's going to turn against that little nation before this world's over. Let me tell you something. They ain't going to take them out. You can put that in the bank. But you watch. I say this all the time. You bring it to heart and hear this. But if you watch the news at all, you watch the Middle East. Because it's coming. The trumpet's in the hands of Jesus. And it's your choice whether you believe this or not. I mean, I can't force you on you. You may walk out of here and say, man, that old fat man don't know what he's talking about. And that's like, well, you wasn't funny. But I'm not naive to the fact. I know people leave here and say, you know, I don't know if he even knows what he's talking about. And that's okay. You have that right to believe. But any way I can to convince you that I do know what I'm talking about, understand this. Jesus loves you. He died for you. When we have this invitation in a minute, he would absolutely welcome you with open arms. And all you've ever got to say is that, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner, and I want to be your child. You'd be serious about it. Because we got people that walk aisles every day in churches and leave lost the day they come in. Because it doesn't mean what you think it means. What it means is you truly have accepted Jesus Christ. Okay? And when that does, there's a change in you. If something don't change, then there's something wrong. When people are not in church, there's something wrong with them. Now, I understand we've got people, and I'm going to close with this story. About 10 years ago, I did a funeral. 10, 11 years ago. Of a lady who was a sweet lady. Back in the real early days of me being here, she come on occasions. Well, once a month or a couple months. That made time, 10 times a year she was here. A nice lady, but just wasn't a regular attendant. She fell, broke her hip. She was in her 70s, and from that point on, she was in the nursing home. I would go see her on occasions, and I went to see her. And about 2 weeks before she died, here's what she said. She said, Roger, on the days that I could go to church, I took it for granted. nursing home for 2 years, and there hadn't been a Sunday go by that I didn't think the girls were going to go to church. Had opportunities for years to be here and come on occasions. Our last 2 years was at a nursing home. I wouldn't give anything to come to church. Now, understand something, folks. I know that sometimes people get sick, and I understand that. There have been times I've had to miss because I've been sick. But don't use that excuse forever. There are people that come through. I think there are 3 or 4 people in here today on Walmart. Now, they could have stayed home today, let me tell you that right now. And probably would have had a legitimate excuse on what it takes for them to get ready to come to church. And if we got some people that are as healthy as a horse, got every opportunity in the world, and one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to be shocked to death when God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now you can take that for whatever it's worth. It's up to you. But whether you're watching me by internet or people that watch me in any way, shape, or form, don't take for granted that you've got an opportunity to be in God's house, because one day you may not have that opportunity anymore. Be careful what you wish for. As my mother always says, be careful what you wish for. That's that. Every head is bowed and every eye. Oh, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, there have been times in my early life that I was lukewarm. Thank God, Father, you reached out to me and said, "Rhonda, that time is over. Make your choice. Are you with me or are you not?" Father, that choice is coming down to people and families all across this globe today. Are you with me or are you not? You make the choice. Joshua said, "But as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord." But that's a decision, that's a choice. Father, bless these moments. If you're watching by internet, I pray for you. If you're lost, you need to accept Jesus. I don't care if it's day or night. I don't care where you're at. All you've got to do is bow your head and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. Will you forgive me?" Do that, Father, and I will live for you. If you pray that prayer, you'll be saved. You find you a good church home and you get in it. Someone that is preaching the gospel of Jesus. To our people here, it's time for Christian people to wake up, because the trumpet's in his hands. The trumpet is in his hands. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus? Thank you.